The story you're about to hear is from the Book of Revelation, chapter 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, "Go and pour out on the earth the wrath of God." The great river Euphrates and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Oh my gosh. First of all, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and so I have always wondered about Armageddon, and this is some weird stuff in here, Eric. Dragons, beasts, false prophets, and frogs. My name's May.
And my name's Eric, and this is Too Long Didn't Read.
Too Long Didn't Read is an irreverent look at a reverent book. It's a podcast about the Bible. This season, we're uncovering the Bible stories you didn't learn in preschool. These aren't cute, there aren't coloring pages for them, they're violent, weird, scandalous. And they're part of the Bible for a reason. Wonder why? So do we.
Today on Too Long Didn't Read, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel mostly confused. We're heading to the end of all time for the ultimate battle of good versus evil. We're going to Armageddon, and I promise, Bruce Willis and that crappy Aerosmith song are not going to be part of it.
Okay, here's my first question that I think a lot of people wonder. Revelation, is it real or is it like Lost when you find out that it was all kind of a dream? But is it a telling of what's going to happen? Is it a dream that someone had? Is it just something somebody made up because it was a good story? Are there dragons coming for me? Is basically what I want to know.
That's what we want. How Game of Thrones are we getting here, basically? Yeah. Okay. So, first piece of context that you have to be aware of anytime you deal with Revelation, and this is not just Revelation that's this way. Revelation just happens to be the biggest one and the most notable one, but there's sections of Daniel and Ezekiel in the Old Testament that are this way. They are a genre of literature that was called apocalyptic literature. It's kind of like prophecy, but it has some differences. Prophecy was intended to convey God's specific message to a given person or people for something. This is God speaking to you to try and get you to do a certain thing. Apocalyptic literature is similar in the way that, like, you're speaking about things to come. You're speaking about the future. You're speaking at a kind of a cosmological level, but it is written less from the standpoint of here's the play-by-play of what's going to happen, and more about the what does this arc tell us about God? What does this arc tell us about who he is or about what's happening in this cosmic story?
Okay, well, what does that weird verse we read tell us about God?
You get throughout the Bible this sense that there's a layer to the world that we can't see with our physical eyes. You know, like, throughout the Bible, God makes it really clear, like, there is more happening than meets the eye. There are spiritual battles, there's angels, there's demons, like, there's all this combat, in essence. It continually speaks about it in warfare sorts of terms. There's combat happening for the souls of humanity. One of the easiest ways to look at Revelation is we're at the end of the movie. You know, it's the final apex critical moment, and it's almost like somebody just goes, okay, there's no time left for anything else. Pull back the curtain. And so it's this weird melding of these things that usually are invisible and we don't see. It's like the spiritual and the physical are now being conducted kind of in the same plane almost. So you're looking at going, I don't know what all of this means. Hey, that's kind of the point. You know, part of the reason that apocalyptic literature existed was to give the reader the sense like this struggle, this world is far, far bigger than you realize. There's way more happening here. we're coming to the end of time as we know it. Man, there's got to be some like crazy stuff happening. And it's almost like God saying, like, yeah, there is going to be. Is there an actual dragon? Is there an actual beast? Maybe. I don't know. We're not there yet. You know, whenever God says, okay, I'm done with status quo, let's wrap this whole thing up, I'm ready to make everything new. Is there going to be some kind of clash and cosmic upheaval and like, is everything just going to get weird? Well, yeah. If God decides to, you know, turn the foundations of the world upside down and deal with evil once and for all, I can't imagine that evil is going to take that quietly. You know, like there's going to be a struggle. I would expect that.
So there's a couple other excerpts in Revelation that are equally as weird.
Yes.
And disturbing.
Yes.
The one I wanted to talk about is in Revelation 20. Here's what it says. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that is the happy ending the Bible.
Right. Well, okay, that's not the happy ending.
Oh, well.
We'll get to that. Like, there is a happy ending to the Bible. It's really important. And it's actually important for understanding Revelation that we not stop reading it at chapter 20.
Okay. But does chapter 20 say the bad guy loses?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. The essence of that.
And in a pretty terrific way.
Right. Yeah, it's gruesome.
Not merciful.
No, it's not merciful at all.
It's merciful to us.
Right. To think about Revelation and all of this like fantastical stuff, it's really easy to get caught up in what does this mean? What does that mean? All this sort of stuff. And you actually have like whole camps of people that, well, oh, this is how you do it. Like, there's some people that say, like, oh, no, this is intended to be literal. It's word for word. So if it says there's going to be a dragon, there's going to be a dragon. If it, you know, whatever. There's some people that tend more towards a symbolic, like, these are all symbols and metaphors, and this dragon stands for this. And then you have other people that are kind of like the symbolic ones, but they try to put everything into, like, historical categories. So, like, this dragon represented this empire. And, like, any, okay. Like, yeah, you get lost in all of those. What's interesting, I think, for the average person trying to follow Jesus to understand is you have this, you know, this whole book builds up with all this fantastical imagery towards the end of the enemy that has tormented God's creation from the beginning. The passage we just read, it's like the bad guy loses. God says, you will not torment my world anymore. Done. Which is interesting because there's two chapters of the Bible left. That enemy entered the scene in chapter 3 of Genesis. So there were two chapters at the beginning before he ever came on the scene.
But there's a big plot point. I think I get what you're going for here. There's a big plot point that hasn't been tied up yet.
Sure.
Can I guess at what that might be?
Go for it.
Okay. I know that in the beginning, in the first couple chapters, God creates people and wants to be with them. Talks mm-hmm. about walking with them, walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So when I watch a movie and something like that happens in the beginning and then it gets screwed up, like, there needs to be some kind of resolution. So
yeah.
If my movie watching
has taught you anything,
has taught me anything, thank you, Robert McKee, it's that plot point needs to get resolved here at the end in the last two
yes.
chapters.
Yes. And that, like, that's the thing that bugs me the most about how most people deal with Revelation, because everybody gets so hung up on the first 20 chapters. And what do all of these symbols mean? And what does all of this stuff mean? When the whole point of this style of literature in the first place was to get you to recognize, here's this cosmic battle that's happening. More than any other genre of ancient literature, apocalyptic literature was intended to show the battle between good and evil. And the whole point of any of those kinds of pieces of literature was to say, like, who wins at the end? And so if you read Revelation and all you're fixated on is the first 20 chapters, you've really missed the point. The whole point is the picture that you get in 21 and 22, where it's like God says, all of that goes away. I will fix everything broken. you know, you pick up in chapter 21, and it's probably one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, because he says, all of that stuff, I will make it all new.
Are you getting emotional?
I am. This is like, it's genuinely one of my favorite passages, because it's like, I'm a history buff, and you know, I love reading history. I love, you know, this grand story of humanity, but there's so much brokenness in it. You know, there's so much pain and so much death. And to have God say, I will fix all of it. There will not be any crying. There will not be any tears. None of that will enter my world again. Like that is powerful. To know that guy at the end of this crazy weird story, God will step in himself and go, never again. Mm. The whole point of Revelation is to go, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of any of this because of chapters 21 and 22. You can always have hope because God will say, no more. Mm. I win. It's done.
When it's still broken, when it hurts, when it sucks,
yes,
it's not over yet.
Yeah, it doesn't mean any of it is easy. It doesn't mean like, you know, there's all kinds of suffering that happens in the middle of it. It's very, you know, it's one of the most graphic parts of the whole Bible. And yet, the whole point of that story is to say, it will one day end. And all of that hurt and all that pain will go away.
I mean, that's a promise, right?
Yeah. Those two chapters at either end of the Bible, like, there are times in life when we kind of have to look at those two chapters and say, like, if I can't make sense of anything that comes in between, he promised, I made this thing at the beginning and I made it right. I made it perfect. And I will fix it. I can believe, I can wait for that. I can trust in that. You have this story of Jesus in the middle. He's saying, like, I am making this right. Like, I am that way. I am the way you get to that. You know, I am the one that God promised that I would send to create the way for you to get back to that again. Mm. You know, gets this nice symmetry to the whole story.
I don't want to mansplain this. Or I guess the simplest explanation. I mean, it's what you just said. What you said is God had a plan and that plan has not changed.
Right.
Things happened, but the same end that God had planned from the beginning is the same end that will happen.
Yeah.
And that is restoration, redemption. Hope can't be lost because God won't allow for it.
Yeah. The same God who was powerful enough to create the world is powerful enough to recreate the world.
Boom!
This is the actual last episode of this short run podcast that we've been doing. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like we said, definitely don't just take our word for it. If you want to read about the Battle of Armageddon that we were talking about, that's in Revelation chapter 16, 19, and 20. Honestly, if you've never read Revelation before, and honestly, if you've never read the Bible before, one of the best places to start is Revelation 21 and 22. You know, start with how the story ends. You know, there's a lot of worse ways you could start that journey. Run across stuff and have questions, definitely send us emails, send us thoughts at podcasts@crossroads.net. Also, special thanks to our friend Jacob Durbin for the original music. Find more music from his band Flying Things on iTunes or Spotify. Too Long Didn't Read is a production of Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's good.
There's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible.
There's